prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a jam-packed show for you today during the first hour. Mark Bell is going to be with us, inspiring us to be better people, better athletes, better fathers, better human beings for 2021. And I got to tell you, I love this guy because he is part of the Walk the Walk Club. Everything that Mark talks about, he does. And you can see the results in his own body, in his attitude. And I think that if we're going to learn from people, let's stop learning from these Instagram models and people who want to inspire you to do stuff. And they're not even doing it themselves. You know they're not. So we're going to talk to Mark in just a moment. Later in the show, we're going to talk about an interesting amino acid. It's very, very rare. It's found in some foods. Your body doesn't make it. But it actually may be the answer to the whole telomere conundrum and aging. So that's a little bit later in the show. Before we do any of that, we have to thank our title sponsor, Legendary Foods. Their new tasty pastry is out of this world. It's birthday cake style. Those of you who tried the old tasty pastry, it was kind of like a Pop-Tart. You know, it had that hard pastry crust. But this is more like an apple turnover crust. This is puffy. It's delicious. 20 grams of protein, zero sugar. I guarantee you won't be able to stop your kids from eating the entire box in the first week. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary. Use the code SHR10 to save 10% off and check them out before they run out. And now, without further delay, my guest today is none other than the handsome and powerful Mark Bell. How you doing, Mark? There he is.
I'm doing great. I'm doing absolutely great.
Mark Bell is the Vince Lombardi of physical culture. Vince Lombardi inspired people because they knew he walked the walk. They knew the fabric that the man was made out of, and they wanted to do better because he wanted them to do better. Mark Bell cares about people. That's where his infinite energy comes from. I can tell you this firsthand. I've learned about the guy. I've become close with him. He's a unique human being. There's no doubt about it. And I thought, who else to have on the show and talk about inspired strength? Inspired strength is what Mark Bell embodies. Welcome to 2021, brother.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, the comparison to Vince Lombardi is really complimentary to me. I'm a huge football fan, first of all, and Vince Lombardi is very iconic. But if you go back and you think about what did Vince Lombardi really teach, and you look at some of these great coaches of the past, what did they really teach? They almost always taught, like, A, they taught the fundamentals, right? And then they taught something else, which I would consider to fall into a category of something called universal law. You know, everybody that you've ever had on this show who's gained or earned success, has been a self-starter. They've been somebody that has figured out a way to go after their goal, regardless of the different things, the different hurdles that came their way. They looked at obstacles as hurdles, and they developed a skill set so they can jump over those things and leave them in the past. And if you think about, you know, Vince Lombardi, you know, what did he really teach? You know, he taught the fundamentals of blocking and tackling. And there's those old videos of him on that sled, and him getting pushed by the team, you know, firing everybody up and having them push that sled all over the place. Well, he knew that the basics were going to be the key to every single victory that he had. And gaining an inch or gaining, you know, a couple yards on a play was so significant. And so the execution of how you go about doing these things is critical. And then how do we get the best execution every time? Well, let's make sure that the guy that is the guy that's on the offensive line with the other offensive linemen, let's make sure that they feel like a family and they feel like a unit, and that they'll die for one another. They'll throw that extra block. They'll push that extra yard, not necessarily just for the coach, but they're doing it for the betterment of the team. And I've looked at a lot of things that way and learned a lot of great things from my own father over the years, just on how important just people are always trying to be great. And that's fantastic that people want to be great. They want to be like The Rock or whatever. But I think being great is misleading. I think what you're really trying to do is you're trying to be good for a really long period of time.
Yes.
And if you're good for a really long period of time and you built up that consistency, somebody else will tell you that you're great.
Okay, so you just mentioned the word that I wanted to inject into the conversation. That is consistency. And the people have a hard time being consistent. And here's my opinion why I think it is. People, we know that if you go to college for 4 years, you come away with a degree, depending on, you know, if you apply yourself. And the curriculum is created for you by people who understand how to create curriculums to get you from point A to point B. The noise level and distraction out there from people who want you to try this and want you to buy that is actually a problem for people, because I kind of feel like if you know what you're doing is going to work and then you trust the process, you can be consistent. But the problem is too many people don't really have the confidence in what they're doing that it's going to work. And so when they don't see any results in 6 weeks or 6 days, they bail and they move on to something else. What's the secret? What is your secret? You've been consistent as a wrestler, as a power lifter, now a bodybuilder, an inventor. What's the secret to consistency?
You have to lower your standards so far that it's almost an absolute joke to not be consistent. Because if you think about it, you're consistent at taking a shit twice a day already, right?
Right.
There are things that you have consistency for in your life already, whether it's that you drink alcohol after dinner every night or have dessert. Now, these might be considered like bad habits, but I'm just showing you as an example, like everyone has this ability to be on schedule and be on point with something. And how do you lower your standards so far? What happens is when you start to lower your standards so far, it no longer sounds like a challenge anymore. And so you're like, well, come on, dude, like that's so easy. But that's the whole point, because you mentioned the key word. The key word that follows being consistent is confidence. How do we, because if we can just build a little confidence, we see what it does in our children. It's so obvious, like, wow, that kid's more confident because he learned how to play the guitar, or he learned how to throw a spiral with football, and now he's more confident. Now he's talking to other people, and you it's so dramatic. But in adults, I don't think we see it as being so dramatic like that. But the way to build your confidence is to lower the standard so low that whatever it is you're trying to do is so simple that it's almost ridiculous for you to not do it. So an example of that is these 10-minute walks. Go and walk to your mailbox. And let's say you live in New York and it's freaking 3 degrees outside. Well, you know, when you look outside of that mailbox and the sun starts to come out and stuff, and now it's 15 degrees, you're like, you know what? I made an agreement to myself. Don't be a chump. Like, just walk to the damn mail. Like, it's, you know, it's really not, it's not that bad. Like, dude, just go and walk to the mailbox. Don't be such a wuss, you know? And you'll probably end up walking to the mailbox because you're trying to string together that consistency. I'll give you another example. For the longest time, I've had issues where I wake up in the middle of the night and I feel like eating, and I'm not even really hungry. It's just like a bad habit from when I was heavier. Mm-hmm. Now, so
Mark,
I'm like,
you actually dropped out for a millisecond right after you said, so you wake up in the middle of the night and
yeah, right from there. Yes, I wake up in the middle of the night and I want to like ravage the pantry like a bear, you know.
Right.
And so I used to slap myself on the wrist for that and say, hey, like, you know, don't do that again. But every night when
literally,
I would do that.
Literally, you would do that as like a trigger. You would slap yourself on the wrist.
No, I wouldn't slap myself on the wrist. But okay. I'm just thinking like figuratively, I would be like disappointed in myself.
Right.
And then I was like, well, how do I not be disappointed in myself? Well, how about I just get rid of the rule, because it's a dumb rule. Who cares when I eat? And if I'm eating a legendary Pop-Tart in the middle of the night, it's not really hurting anything. And that's what I would eat. I would eat like a Hero bar or a Quest bar. I used to, a long time ago, eat ice cream and other stuff. But I was like, these treats are, they're healthy enough. I mean, they still fall in line with my goals. So let's not make it a big deal. And so more recently, I'm like, all right, well, if you're going to eat any of this stuff, how about you just have one? Like, that sounds reasonable rather than eating like two or three of them, which I would love to do. Now I found a nice compromise that I can actually be consistent with. And so now I'm consistent. And guess what? I don't feel bad about eating something in the middle of the night, because sometimes it's a protein shake and a legendary Pop-Tart, that new one that you had a commercial for. Absolutely ridiculous. You're right. It's more like an apple turnover consistency. So I think, how can other people apply this? How can they bring this into their own life? Let's say that you want to go on a diet and you're hearing all this stuff about carnivore this, carnivore that, and you try it, you know, starting on, you got that Monday mentality. I'm starting it on Monday, no carbs, just meat, and you're going to do cardio and you're going to lift weights and you're going to do double days. You're on day 7 and you're dragging ass and you're like, ah, man, you know, this is already here I go again. Like, you know, I'm going to be the same fat bastard I was yesterday because I don't have the motivation or discipline. You find yourself eating some Ben and Jerry's. Well, rather than making everything so difficult for yourself, why don't you just write down a list of foods that aren't great for you, that you love, that you eat way too often, and start to work on disregarding those foods the best that you possibly can. You could say, hey, look, soda is a huge problem for me. Drinking alcohol is a huge problem for me. Those are two things that I need to face, because I think that you would agree with this statement. People think that they're going to lose weight and get healthy, and that can happen. But normally, in order to lose weight, you have to be healthy first.
Yeah.
You need healthy practices, and you need to be a healthy person in order to almost be accepting of this like new weight loss stuff that's going to happen to you. So you've got to kind of make yourself a success before you are even earning a lot of success.
So I want to stay with the 10-minute walks for a second. Because I this is a very, very powerful habit. How many times a day do you take a 10-minute walk now?
I would say that, you know, on average, I'm walking probably 5 or 6 times a day.
Okay.
And the group here at Slingshot, we have a group of probably about 15 employees. No one's in the office anymore. Like, it backfired on me because no one's even working anymore. They're outside with their headphones on their 10-minute walks. Everybody's walking all the time, and it's great. And we'll grab each other. We'll say, hey, 10-minute walk, and the other guy will be like, yep, let me finish this email, and we pop out the door.
So, do you keep it to 10 minutes, or does it become longer? Do you like, look, we're going to do 10-minute walks. They're going to be 10 minutes. That's it.
Oftentimes, if I'm by myself, they'll be way longer. Like, I might walk for like 2 hours sometimes just because I enjoy walking. But what I've learned about that's a great thing to bring up, is that, and I've learned this in the gym as well, and I've learned it in a bunch of other areas. So if I start lifting and I'm like, I'm going to, you know, put in a good hour, 45 minutes. If I put in 90 minutes, well, what happens to the next day? The next day is compromised. If you think about addiction, like, that's like a definition of addiction in a way, right? Like,
yeah.
If it's starting to negatively impact, what
yes.
if it's,
yes.
Is it negatively impacting my time with my family? Yeah. Is it negatively impacting my relationships? Is it negatively impacting my sleep? Is it negatively impacting my next day? Yeah, it's fucking all that up. It's messing all that stuff up.
Right.
And so you got to kind of limit it. And so with these 10-minute walks, I think it's critical that, hey, look, you know, even keep them a little short, keep them 6 to 8 minutes, because you want to stay on top of them and you want to do them frequently.
It's a brilliant plan. You know, if you break it down to this, walk 5 minutes in any direction from wherever you're standing and then walk back. Then you think, wow, yes. That's really not so bad. I'm just walking 5 minutes away and then I'm walking back. And 10 minutes isn't a lot, but 10 minutes can do a lot depending on your health status. If you're somebody who can't walk 10 minutes, walk 3 minutes. If you're somebody who can't walk 3 minutes, then stand during the TV commercials until you can right. walk around the sofa. And then once you start walking around the sofa, walk around the house. I mean, but you start where you are. That's the other problem I think people have. I was a very, very strong individual for most of my life. And then 2018 and 19 threw some really bad injuries my way. And I lost a lot of strength and I lost a lot of muscle. And I'm comparing myself when I go to the gym now to that guy. I'm not that guy anymore. I'm the guy I was when I was 330 pounds and being fitted for a pacemaker again. So I need to go back there and start with the basics before I move back to where I was. Start where you are. I've had, you know, I've preached these things, but finally I'm having to live them now. So it's interesting. I love the 10-minute walk concept. I think it's fantastic. Something.
A little scenario. Give people something they can try. Today, when you have an opportunity, get outside and go to a mailbox or a stop sign or any sort of object, a garbage can. Take a good look at it, okay, and size that thing up. And I want you to envision that that's your problem. So let's just say that's all your problems. You might have problems that are much bigger than just that, but let's just say that's all your problems, right? Well, that's going to represent, you know, a trash can is, I don't know, 3 feet tall and maybe 3 feet wide or something like that. So when you're next to it, you're like, wow, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big problem, right? Well, if you just walk for 1 minute and then you turn around and you look at that problem, it looks a lot smaller. Your perspective on it is different. What if you, and this is literally putting your head down and putting one foot in front of the other. And sometimes on these walks, you're walking uphill, you're moving onward and upward at the same time. Let's say you walk another minute. Well, by the time you walked another minute, you can turn around and look at that problem and you can cover it up with your thumb just by putting your thumb in front of your face. And it's so your problems will become smaller the more that you work towards your new goals. They'll start to become irrelevant. A lot of times, a lot of the issues that you might have, you'll almost forget why you ever even had them. The beef that you had with so-and-so, or the situation that you had going on, or the high blood pressure, or the, you'll just be like, that was so foolish that I really ever even had that. But I guess it was just a lack of knowledge. I didn't know that these walks were so empowering. But I mean, how ridiculous is it that we can get some really amazing benefits just from walking? And you know, let's not forget what it's doing for your mind. That's what I always think about physical activity. Like, man, what is it doing for your brain? And then also, you know, we have the benefit of sometimes getting out in the sun. Well, now we're like, now it's a triple, you know, quadruple win. One last thing I want to say on the 10-minute walk topic is, when you get home from a stressful day, you had a day that was a little, you know, frustrating or whatever it might be, I think you got two options. One is, you can still walk when you're at work. If you have an opportunity, if there's an area where you can walk, you can do that at the end of your day and just kind of make yourself do that and get out the door and hit up a 10-minute walk. The other option is to just do it when you get home. But when you get home and you go to sit down, be careful how long you sit down for. If you sit down for more than like 60 seconds, you're probably done. And you're probably just going to kind of loaf there. And you're, the second that you feel that sigh and that actual relaxation, that's actually your cue to get your ass up and to go at it again.
Interesting.
That worked so well for me because I was like, oh, man, this just feels. But if I sat in that any longer, my fat ass was on the couch the rest of the night. So when you kind of feel the urge to just let up, I always say never get caught doing nothing. Like, you should always be doing something, always working towards your goals.
Keep moving. Now, the other thing that I learned from you, you and I were texting, and I said, you know, I was kind of embarrassed. I was like, I haven't been in the gym in like 6 weeks between the move to the new house and the COVID shutdown. And I started drinking wine every night. I was drinking. I kept thinking of Vince Gironda. I always heard stories about Vince when he got older. He started drinking. People would say, well, Vince would drink a bottle of wine every night. And I felt like, man, I'm one of those old Italian guys, all those guineas. I'm drinking the wine. I'm not doing anything. And I was texting with you, and you said, Carl, go to the gym. What body part do you like to train? Go to the gym and just train arms. If that's all you train, just go to the gym and train arms. And there was a simplicity and an elegance to this, because when you start thinking about training, you're like, oh, I got to train back. I got to train legs. No, what if you just started out doing what you love? Guys love to train arms, right? Talk about the train a body part that you love.
Absolutely. I think for myself, you know, I've been training since I was around 12 years old. I'm 44 now, so over 30 years of hitting the weights. And Yeah, I know what it's like to have a program laid out in front of you and have that look really daunting, or to even see. I remember having like a couple of weeks laid out when I was powerlifting, and I would see, you know, okay, you have a 980-pound squat for three sets of two reps or something like that. And I'd be like, holy shit. Like, I already knew that day was going to be awful. Right. So I'd prepare myself for how brutal that was going to be. But that was at a really extreme level. You know, nowadays I'm just after being more fit. And the most important thing is for me just to get myself in the gym in the first place. And so what I started to do is I started just to say, hey, look, I'm just going to do one body part. And you know how easy it is to talk yourself into doing one body part, and even one exercise. So, you know, I work here at Slingshot headquarters, and we have the gym. We have Super Training Gym inside of that. And so it's kind of easy for me to walk from meetings and stuff like that into the gym. But what somebody would find if they were trying to do what I'm doing is sometimes it's hard to separate the two. The two kind of get smashed together, and I'm at my work and I'm at the gym at the same time. And so I can get pulled in a lot of different directions, and the training can sometimes be frustrating because it's something I'm getting through these meetings and through all these other things. And so I was like, I'm not letting my training suffer for anybody. Like, that's not negotiable. I'm not allowing that to happen to me. I see it happen to a lot of other entrepreneurs, and I'm not going to let that happen to me. So you have no excuse. You have no one to blame. Put this on your own shoulders and just go in there and do one exercise. And even if you're scheduled to do legs or something like that, and it's supposed to be kind of a more complicated workout, switch that. Call an audible and do something slightly different. Just do something that you like. I always say, you know, things that are nostalgic. Whenever you're bummed out and you're feeling sad, think of that nostalgic song that really moved you years ago that you loved when you were young, when you were a kid. Not some song, not some breakup song or something like that. It's going to make you want to drive off the road. You know, something that you really enjoy a lot. And you'll be surprised what that nostalgia can do for you. Same thing in the gym. We sometimes forget, like, what attracted us to all this in the first place. We were 13-year-old kids or 15-year-old kids, and we looked at our arms like, our arms are kind of puny. I want my arms to be bigger. So a lot of us trained our arms. So if that floats your boat, if you feel good doing that, then get back in there and start with that one movement or that one body part that you really loved. You'll find yourself in there for like 10, 15 minutes. Once the 15 minutes is up, there's absolutely no chance that you're going to go home after 15 minutes. You're going to be fired up. Heartbeat's going. You got a good song on. You feel great. Next thing you know, you finished an hour workout. You got to trick yourself.
You mentioned something else that's interesting, right? The people feel like in order to go to the gym and train, they have to do, you know, three sets of this, three sets of that, three sets of this, three sets of that, three sets of this. What about just going to the gym and we're talking about arms and just doing 15 sets of curls and nothing else? Like,
run the rack.
Yeah. Isn't that worthwhile?
Absolutely. It's totally worthwhile. I'll give you another suggestion too. Don't even change your clothes. Why throw up all these barriers? Why throw up all these, you're in your jeans, you're in your polo, like, just freaking walk right in. There's a great video with the Ultimate Warrior, and he talks about giving you a prescription for your mind. He's like, you want the ultimate prescription for your mind? He's like, next time you're in your car, he's like, you just got off of work. He goes, make that hard right and go right to the gym. Walk through the front, throw your gym bag down, 20 rep sets of squats.
Yeah, really.
He's like, that'll fix you really quick. I mean, he's got a great point. Like, once you start moving, all that stuff, like, it just,
I got to do this, I got to do that.
Yeah.
See, I started doing that this summer because I would want to always ride the motorcycle, and I didn't want to take a gym bag. And so I would ride up to the gym, get off the bike, go in and train in my work boots and my jeans. And now I go to the gym in street clothes all the time, where back in the day I had my workout pants and my workout shirt, and my bag and my towel. And all that stuff just creates obstacles for you to go, well, I don't have that stuff, I'm just not going to go. No. Now I just walk into the gym and I train in whatever I'm wearing, and then I get out of there. And it's faster. I can train longer instead of going into the locker room putting my stuff up, locking it up. Now I just go in and get to work. I think that's brilliant. I think more of us should be doing that.
I think, you know, excuses reminds me of like bussing tables. Like I worked at a bar for a while where I was the bouncer, but we'd also pick up the beer bottles and stuff that were left around. And it reminds me of like, hey, just, you know, seriously, just take a tray, take all your excuses and pile them up on that tray and throw them in the fucking garbage. Like just get rid of these excuses. And think about how many times you do that for other people. When somebody comes to you for advice, they say, Carl, look, man, like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm a lot fatter than I want to be. And I've tried your diet. I've tried some of the stuff on your show. And, you know, I have kids and I got this job and they want me working 50 hours a week. And you're thinking in your head already, you're a polite guy, so you're not going to shoot the guy down, but you're thinking, okay, kids, okay, stressful job, has absolutely nothing to do with you being overweight.
Right.
It is a factor that you throw in there. Okay, I'm compassionate. I understand. You have some obstacles that are different than the next person, but everyone's got obstacles. Everyone's got stuff in the way. Not everybody is really fat. So let's figure this the fuck out.
I want to take a break. And when we come back, you did a great talk. And I want you to kind of give us the Reader's Digest version of it when we come back on gas station food analogy. Okay. Because I thought it was fascinating. And that's why, I mean, you simplify things. And you put this enthusiasm behind it. And it's just very, very effective, I think. So let's do that. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Mark Bell. Stay tuned. You're watching and listening to Superhuman Radio. Are you ready to change the way you age? Of course you are. That's why you're here. Juvicell is a new, first-of-its-kind dietary supplement that includes 10 key research-backed ingredients shown in studies to support lifespan. Things like resveratrol, fisetin, quercetin, pterostilbene, sulforaphane, turmeric, all in a single dose. You may have some of these ingredients already, but Juvicell is the first to combine them all into a single product to support your lifespan. It's vegan, non-GMO, and sustainable. Live better, longer with Juvicell. Go to SHRnetwork.biz/livebetter. Use code SHR and save 20% off today. Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapists can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Myostorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to SHRnetwork.biz/Meteor and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy two or more. Start recovering better today. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon. Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, said that all disease begins in your gut. That's why it's so important to protect yourself with boosted immune system. If you drink coffee, tea, smoothies, or really any beverage in the morning, and you're looking for a tasty way to start your day and defend yourself against harmful bacteria, then I have just the thing for you to try. It's called the Ultimate Immunity Protection Stack, and it was put together by my friends over at Bioptimizers. Their immunity stack has 3 products which contain over 18 natural herbs and probiotic blends formulated to fight and eliminate bad bacteria like E. coli, salmonella, gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria, and repair compromised gut lining. It also includes psychobiotics, which help increase serotonin and happy chemicals to naturally elevate your mood, performance, and cognitive function with no side effects or dependencies. It's a great addition to your morning routine, and it tastes amazing. Just stir it into any beverage, sip, and enjoy. It's the ultimate way to boost your immune system right before the holiday season. Go to shrnetwork.biz/protect and use code SHR10 and save an extra 10% off on the You won't find this deal or stack anywhere else. For fast shipping and the best deal, go to shrnetwork.biz/protect today. By now, you're aware of the cognitive benefits of nootropics. My friends over at Pure Nootropics are giving my listeners 10 to 30% off their already great prices on over 70 high-quality nootropics. Stock up on DHM so you can feel good after your holiday celebration, or try the Superhuman Stack to boost your brain and energize your day. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure, that's P-U-R-E, and start saving today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Mark Bell is a superhuman. So we have a comment here, and I happen to know it's from Aiden Ray, only because I went and looked on Facebook. But this platform is squirrely. It blocks people's names if they have certain privacy settings and stuff. He said, Everyone's got a reason not to. Winners have a reason to. What do you think of that? Too harsh?
All right. No, it's the truth. It's spectacular. You know, we all have excuses. We all have and we all have weaknesses too. You know, so you might see some of my strengths, you know, unfold in front of you via some of the things that I want to share on Instagram. But I'm not going to like post a bunch of my weaknesses. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no.
you're not going to really see a lot of those things. But I kind of am of the belief that everyone has unique qualities inside them. I believe actually that everyone has like a divinity to them. Everyone has like a almost like a godlike feature that would shock you. I believe that each person has that. I just think some people they don't ever get to it for various reasons. Some people grow up in some really unfortunate circumstances, and because of those unfortunate circumstances, their mind never really shifts towards them thinking that they could really ever make anything of themselves or be special in any sort of way. And so you don't ever get to see it. Meanwhile, you got some kids that are 5 years old and they're playing the piano and doing all these magnificent things, and they find these things at really, really young ages. So I agree with that statement. I think, you know, we can all list out a bunch of excuses. I'll give you an example. Like, I train with my brother quite a bit, and he points out this, he points this one out quite a bit, but he and I were doing some incline bench, or we're doing chest for the day, and the second exercise was some incline barbell. And I said, "Oh, it's your set." And I said, "Are you going to go?" And he said, "I can't do that weight." And I said, "That wasn't my question." And so, you know, he was thinking like, "I can't do that weight, so I'm just going to like go off in the corner and go do whatever else. Like, I'm not going to do the rest of the workout with you," kind of thing. And I'm just thinking, hey, look, how easy is it? This barbell is designed where we can slide plates on and off the sides of it very easily. So let's just take a little weight off. So, you know, I knew what he meant. And so, like, as he was saying, like, I can't do that weight, I'm pulling the weight off already and switching the weight out. He did the workout with me and just took his excuse and crumpled it up, threw it in the garbage. Another friend of mine owns a bunch of coffee shops out here, super successful, makes a ton of money, but he doesn't have a hold of his fitness. And he's telling me all these different times a day that he's busy, 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 busy. And I said, hey, I didn't really hear like when your day starts. Sounds like it starts at like 6 or 7. I said, I'll see you tomorrow at the gym at 4. And he was like, what? And I said, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow at the gym at 4. And right away, because he's a savage himself when it comes to business, he knew exactly what I was doing. He had no out. And he's like, all right, I'll see you at 4, you know, reluctantly.
Yeah.
And we started training together. But we all have to figure out a way. We got to bury these excuses. I'm a bitch. Like, I make excuses. I complain all the time. And I'm just trying to constantly work on getting better at that.
No, that's a lot of honesty. And people need to know that because, you know, we all run into problems in our lives, in all areas of our lives. And we look at the people that we admire and we wonder like, well, I bet he doesn't have this problem. Or he doesn't deal with this. And my father used to have a saying. He used to say, if everybody on our block in Brooklyn threw their problems in the middle of the street and then we went out there to pick the problems we wanted, we'd all come back with our own problems. Because when you saw what your neighbor's dealing with, you'd be like, oh, no, I'll keep my problems. And you know, we really don't think about it. We just think that guys who look up to you and Ron Penna is another example. I used to tell Ron, what would Ron do? Like when I got in a gym in business, I went, what would Ron do? And the reality is that we all really have all those same problems, and we deal with them, and we feel inadequate when we're dealing with them. And if people only understood that it's okay, you still will be successful if you still keep marching forward one step at a time, because we all feel inadequate and like we can't cope or deal with things from time to time, every single one of us.
Absolutely. I think Elon Musk just became the richest man in the world, I think, today or yesterday. I don't know how that happened, but
good for him.
He jumped Jeff Bezos, I think. But, you know, Elon Musk grew up in a horrific fashion. He was abused mentally, physically, sexually. Like, you want those problems, you know? He was married like 5 times, you know? Like, he went through a lot, you know? He paid his dues, and maybe things are great for him now. You know, maybe things are amazing for him now. And maybe he has smaller problems or less problems, but you know, I wouldn't want to trade my life for the stuff that he had to go through. You know, fuck that. That yeah. seems like a pretty horrible. You know,
Wade Johnson is watching. You know Wade, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. He said smelly with a big explanation point. What do you think about that? Like, I know that we all learned about you from Bigger, Faster, Stronger, right? Your brother's amazing. Poignant and accurate documentary. And everybody learned that your nickname was Smelly. Do people ever walk up to you and call you Smelly that, like, don't have the right to call you Smelly?
I think I'm like a different kind of, if I could call myself a celebrity, to some people, I think I am. I think I'm like a different kind of celebrity, because people will come up to me and like hug me. They're like, hey, man, what's up? Like, they'll hug me as if they – because I think they feel they know me, because I think of a lot of the things that I share, and most of the stuff that when I talk, it's a longer format. It's really rare to find videos of me talking for 3 minutes at a time. You're going to find me rambling on and on and on forever. And so, yeah, people come up and they're like, what's up, Smelly? And they give me a big hug, or and then they'll ask me like, oh, how's Jake and how's Andy and how's Quinn? You know, they ask me about my family and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, man, that's kind of weird, but that's also insanely cool on another level as well. Like, I have shared all those things, and maybe I should be a little bit more careful of all the different things that I choose to share. But I love it. I really do. I think it's great. And yeah, it's kind of funny when people come up to me and they call me Smelly, and I'm, you know, 250 pounds. You know, you're thinking like,
who you calling like, Smelly?
Yeah. Aren't they at least a little concerned or whatever?
I would be. I've never ever referred to you as Smelly. And, you know, we've had intimate conversations, and it's like, I would never even I grew up where I grew up in Brooklyn. Wise guys
you
had nicknames.
A million nicknames.
Yeah. Well, like I had a friend named Nicky Stitchass, because he walked like somebody stitched the cheeks of his ass together. Right. but he was an out and out killer, and you didn't call him Nicky Stitchass to his face unless you had his permission, kind of like unspoken permission, because you were close. And you know, and I remember being out at a bar one night, and some guy walked up and said, hey, Nicky Stitchass. And he didn't even hesitate. He slapped the guy open palm so hard, the guy got knocked out. And so I know about, like, there's people with nicknames, but you have to have like the right to call them by that nickname, or you could end up getting killed. And like, I would never ever think. Also, I think that a lot of those nicknames were created when we were kids to kind of keep us in our place, almost. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And like, I'm not into that. I don't want to keep anybody in their place. I don't want to hold anybody down. So I would never refer to anybody by their nickname. But, you know, I just think it's funny. Now, Wade, I know you know, because he's part of the powerlifting community, and he's been a good friend of mine for many, many years. And I know that he, you know, if he called you Smelly, it's probably because he's hung out with you and stuff. But I've always wondered if, like, people just – and, you know, I got to tell you, from the other side, I was a huge fan of Howard Stern for many years. In fact, his show saved my life. When I was really the sickest and they were telling me I was going to need a pacemaker, Howard came on the air here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I would wake up every morning at 6 a.m. just to listen to him. And I was fortunate enough to actually do work for the show because I had a security company and we did corporate security, and Gary Delabate hired me to do the background checks on like who wants to marry a porn star guy and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I used to have conversations in my head with Howard. So I understand it. Like, people walk up to you like they know you because they've actually talked to you in their head. They've just never talked to you in person, you know?
Right. So, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and the nickname, you know, as a kid, I just hated taking showers. I had two older brothers, and, you know, they were, like, in their teen years, and they were, you know, getting into girls and stuff like that. And so they were staying clean, and I was staying stinky because I was, like, 8 or 9 years old or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would, you know, when somebody calls you something, you know, and you're probably used to this too. When somebody calls you something and it doesn't bug you, like the name doesn't stick.
Right.
But if you cry about it or if it bugs you, you know, and it used to bug me. And so then they would call it to me. But
even more.
I also like to share with people that, you know, I hope people like when I post like a car or house or like some of that shit or crazy sunglasses or a watch or something, I don't take myself very seriously. Like those things are like a fun, kind of a side thing that comes along with a lot of the hard work that I've done over the years. I don't really care about those things. Like, I have nice watches and I have some nice things, but I could totally part with them and literally not care at all. I hope that people kind of understand that I don't take myself so seriously. I like to have fun. So I'm never insulted if someone calls me smelly or anything else, really.
Yeah, no, I know. But you know what? We've kind of gone over the time, and I want to address the analogy of gas station food. So let's just answer this last question here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about gas station food. So what if you weren't strong anymore? What if something happened and you couldn't train? How tied is your personality to being strong? You've been so strong for so much of your life. You're a world-class power lifter. Now you're an amazing bodybuilder. What you've done with your body now is just remarkable. What if one day something happened and you just couldn't train? Do you think you'd still find value in yourself?
I think that would be very, very difficult. If I could do some physical activity, that would be amazing. But if I only lost my strength, I wouldn't sweat it because I've done that many times. You know, I've torn muscles and things like that, and I've come back a bunch of times and kind of just, I guess, focused in on something else and, you know, focused in on like my body or nutrition or, I've been a person that has done a decent job. I could do a better job, but I do a decent job of kind of shifting gears and shifting to new goals. So like I can get excited by just about anything. I can get excited by getting better blood work done. You and I talk a lot about blood work. Yeah. And I could be like pumped about like, hey, my vitamin D levels are up. I could be just as excited with that as I am about, you know, a new bench press PR. In terms of like, you know, kind of kissing the strength stuff goodbye, I've already done that. You know, I've already, like, I will never be that strong again. I don't even know if I'll ever, the feeling and feels I had, you know, lifting some of the weights that I did, those are exceptional times. And I just don't think I'll ever repeat that or ever feel anything of that significance ever again. And I think maybe it might be a little bit similar to when I invented the slingshot. Even though I have some things right now that are absolutely amazing that I'm super excited about, I think that's like a one-time thing. You know, like you hear these musicians and great actors and stuff saying, hey, look, I only got one Rocky in me, or I only have, you know, one of this particular song in me. And I kind of feel the same. I'll still strive and try to, you know, try to get that next big one. But I think a lot of that's behind me, and I feel great because I have other focuses now. My kids, my business. You know, the part of the reason why I push so hard is not really just for me, because it's not just about me. There's a lot of great people around me, and I want to see them succeed. I want to see them to be able to get more. So,
no, I know that about you. All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about gas station food. And can we talk about your new shake?
Absolutely.
Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Tell TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon. Are you ready to change the way you age? Of course you are. That's why you're here. Juvecel is a new, first-of-its-kind dietary supplement that includes 10 key research-backed ingredients shown in studies to support lifespan. Things like resveratrol, fisetin, quercetin, pterostilbene, sulforaphane, turmeric, all in a single dose. You may have some of these ingredients already, but Juvecel is the first to combine them all into a single product to support your lifespan. It's vegan, non-GMO, and sustainable. Live better, longer with Juvecel. Go to shrnetwork.biz/livebetter. Use code SHR and save 20% off today. Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapists can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Myostorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Meteor and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy 2 or more. Start recovering better today. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. I'm having a coughing fit. Terrible allergies.
Trend cough.
Yeah, no, I used to get that a lot. What is the analogy that you gave when you spoke about? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
When you spoke about gas station food.
Yeah. So I've talked many times about being able to re-educate your taste buds, being able to re-educate your palate. And, you know, a lot of times people are like, man, like, I really don't like that food. You know, I don't like these healthy foods. Like, I got to go on a diet. So I think as soon as they think diet, they're thinking sacrifice. They're thinking failure. They're thinking about all the times they tried to eat those fat-free whatevers. And they hate them, or they're thinking about the sugar-free whatever they ate, and they shit their pants or whatever happened to them. There's a lot of food that we just kind of think that we have to part with whenever we're going to switch gears. But I think a lot of us are desensitized to how things actually taste. Like, I think, you know, it's debatable on what tastes good. You know, people have they literally have different taste buds, different. We're built differently and so forth. And so we think different things taste good. But if you were to ever eat like an almond, a raw almond with no salt on it, not roasted, nothing, it has very particular flavor to it. Yeah. If you were to describe an almond, so it's just a single ingredient, just one thing, it's just an almond, you would probably give like 15 different words to try to describe that almond. I think that some of us are so desensitized to where we would eat that almond that's plain, that has nothing on it, and we wouldn't really notice. You'd say, hey, what's that taste like? And somebody that eats gas station food all the time would kind of be like, it tastes like nothing. And then you'd say, well, what do you mean like it tastes like nothing? It tastes like water? And they'd be like, no, it doesn't really taste like water. But you get my point here is like we see this big time. We see this big time with bodybuilders. A bodybuilder will go through a bodybuilding prep, and a bodybuilder will swear to you that these certain things taste amazing.
Yeah, like oatmeal, like plain oatmeal. They're like, oh my God, plain oatmeal tastes so good.
Yeah, they flip out. They're like, oatmeal tastes awesome. I got one friend, Ben Pakulski, who would try to claim that apple cider vinegar tastes amazing. People are like, dude, you're out of your mind. Apple cider vinegar tastes like garbage. And when he retired from bodybuilding, he now admits that apple cider vinegar tastes disgusting.
Right.
But you got it, and this is something you have to really work at. Like, it takes a long time to kind of retrain your taste buds. And so if you're used to going to the gas station all the time and having that, 7-Eleven thing that's unrecognizable.
Dude, when I was a fat bastard, I used to go and I used to buy those. They were on that rotisserie thing spinning all day long, those hot dogs that are injected with jalapeno and cheese. I would get like three or four of them and I would eat them. They were disgusting. Now that I couldn't eat one of those today. I couldn't eat one.
Oh, yeah. You would feel like you're going to die if you were to eat one. You know, and so trying to wean yourself away from some of those foods, but also recognize there's many different diets out there. So you can try different things and still have things that have a lot of pop and have a lot of flavor. What I've noticed, and something that people might want to keep in mind, is that a ketogenic style diet or a low carb diet is, higher in fat and more savory foods. And in my opinion, you get an opportunity to have some better flavors, but a lower style of fat diet, you sometimes end up with pretty good textures because you do get some starches here and there. You get like a combination of rice and chicken. And so pick your side, and you don't have to pick one forever. Like, I go back and forth between a bodybuilding style diet and a carnivore style diet. I kind of flip-flop them, and just there's a lot of great options in terms of foods to still be excited about. I guarantee you that each person listening right now can think of four or five foods that they really enjoy that are still helping them towards their goal.
It takes about 2 weeks in my personal experience to retrain your taste. Like, I'm doing it right now. Like, I'm eating baked chicken with nothing but salt, a couple broccoli florets, and a quarter cup of cooked jasmine or basmati rice. And when I first started doing this 2 weeks ago, I look forward to every meal. Like, the rice tastes good. The broccoli tastes good. It takes about 2 weeks. You got to give it 2 weeks for your body to go, oh, this is the new normal. We got to get used to this. This is good.
Yeah, and people know you'll know you're in trouble if you have food that goes bad in your fridge. If you have meat that goes bad in your fridge, that's a good sign. Like, your taste buds aren't really like, you should be able to eat leftovers. Like, eating leftovers should be like, it doesn't have to be, but it should be part of your lifestyle, I believe, in order to be lean and be healthy, because you should be used to having that prepped food that you just microwave in a minute or two. But a lot of times, if you were to eat like a burrito or you eat something off plan, that's when you get into that situation where you're like, yeah, I don't really feel like eating that steak, or I don't really feel like eating that chicken breast that's sitting in the fridge.
Right. Now, for those of us who want to turn to things that taste good, but they fit in our meal plan, you're coming out with a new protein shake, right?
Yeah, I'm excited. This is the first that we're mentioning it on this podcast right here. I'm starting a supplement brand. It's called Within You. And Within You's first supplement that we're rolling out is something called a steak shake. So it has beef protein, it has collagen, it has whey protein, and in addition to that, it has heart and liver and kidneys, and it tastes good. So the last part about it tasting good, I know the people listening right now are like, there's no fucking way that tastes good. But we did a great job. I mean, it It doesn't taste like the original Muscle Milk formula. I'll tell you that. Like, it doesn't taste that good.
No,
but it does taste good. It is. It does taste like a chocolate whey protein shake. We did a great job with that, and we'll be releasing that probably in February. So we got a few more, just a few more weeks. It'll come probably just a little bit after World Carnivore Month, and it'll be rolling out a bunch of supplements throughout 2021. But that's the first one out of the gate, and I'm expecting that thing to just go bananas.
I didn't know it had hard in it. So that harkens back to the early days of physical culture, where guys like Armin Tanney, Vince Giorana, Jack LaLanne, they were eating heart. They were going to the stockyards in California, and they were buying fresh blood that was just let out of the cows, and they were mixing it with raw cream. That whole thing harkens back to the beginnings of the nutritional styles of eating, of the physical. Is that why you put it in there?
Absolutely, and I'm a big believer. Like, the name of the brand is called Within You. So, like, while I do enjoy supplements, I love taking vitamins and minerals, and then getting my blood work back and seeing the improvements and seeing my improvements in the gym and performance wise and stuff. But I'm also a big believer that if you get out of your body's own way and you eat things that you're supposed to eat, that the human body can heal itself, repair itself, and do a lot of great, wonderful things for itself. It all already lies within you. And it's your job to figure out ways of kind of unlocking these things. However, with that being said, there are people that like to push, that like to do that extra training session, that like to go after it at an intense rate. And so sometimes it might be necessary to add something in to give you a little bit more oomph and give you a little bit. But yeah, adding the heart and things like that, it just made sense, especially with all the ancestral talk that's been going on and all the signs of things pointing to, you know, how good liver and kidney and heart and things like that are for you. I'm like, hey, let's figure, you know, a lot of people are making like capsules and things like that. And that seems like that's a fantastic idea. But I think having it in a shake is a better idea.
Well, yeah, because so, it tastes good. I can't wait. It tastes good. You look forward to having it. And probably your kids will even like it. So go figure that one out.
Yeah, you'll be encouraged to have it. Yeah, which is hard sometimes. Liver is a tough one to eat. I don't know if you enjoy it, but
I love liver. I eat liverwurst at least once a week. And I actually ate liverwurst every day for about 6 weeks, and I noticed amazing increases in strength at that period of my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Look, it's always yeah, it's great to have you on the show. I look forward to the day that, excuse me, this is the worst nightmare of somebody who hosts a podcast that I am having a choking episode. I look forward to hanging out with you. That's what I wanted to say.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. Like, it seems like you seem like a family member to me.
Yeah, I know.
But we've never actually met each other.
Well, look, thanks for being here today. Good luck with the steak shake and everything that you do, okay?
Great. Thank you so much. Can't wait to have you on my show, which is coming up, I think, in like
February,
a week or two.
February. All right. Talk to you later, brother.
February.
Yep.
Later on.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to carry on this discussion, actually, about a supplement that may actually be what we need for our telomeres. Remember telomeres? We started talking about that years and years ago. Well, you're going to find this fascinating. This obscure little amino acid may be the answer to protecting telomere length. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to Redcon One. redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon 1 banner ad today.
TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order. By now, you're aware of the cognitive benefits of nootropics. My friends over at Pure Nootropics are giving my listeners 10 to 30% off their already great prices on over 70 high-quality nootropics. Stock up on DHM so you can feel good after your holiday celebration, or try the Superhuman Stack to boost your brain and energize your day. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure, that's P-U-R-E, and start saving today.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're joined by Dr. Priscilla Samuel. Welcome to the show, Dr. Samuel. And you are with Blue California, is that correct? Oh, we can't hear you. Your audio is not coming through. Are you muted? There we go. Oh, that's better. Sorry. There we go.
Yes.
You are with Blue California. Tell us, what is Blue California?
Yes. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm Dr. Priscilla Samuel, and I serve as the Chief Science Officer for Blue California. Blue California is an ingredients manufacturer, an ingredients manufacturer of science-based ingredients that go into numerous different avenues, food, beverage, dietary supplements, personal care, as well as the cosmetic industry.
Okay. And recently you published a study on something called ergothionine. Am I pronouncing that right? Ergothionine?
Ergothionine, yes.
Thionine. And this is an amino acid. It's not something our bodies produce, correct?
That is correct.
So we have to get it from outside sources, right? Okay.
Yes.
So your research was done on telomeres. And we know that telomeres became in vogue about a decade ago. It was thought that the telomere length was indicative of lifespan. Some of that research has shifted to not necessarily the frank length of the telomere as much as how fast it is degrading as an indicator. Can you clear up what the current state of science is about telomere length?
Yeah, sure. So telomere length is considered a marker of cellular aging. And you're right, it has been historically looked at for longevity, life length, etc. However, it has been more and more also associated with a bunch of different chronic diseases that we are well familiar with, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, et cetera. And so telomere shortening has gained a fair amount of focus and interest. And that is what we also looked at in this particular in vitro study with ergothionine.
Okay, now the other thing about telomeres, just so the audience understands, I'm going to try to give the Reader's Digest version of how I think or what they do. The telomeres are strands at the end of our DNA. They're actually toolbox or tools or parts. So as the DNA replicates again and again, it may become damaged, and the DNA pulls replacement parts from the telomere to repair the DNA. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So telomeres are sort of these protective little end caps at the end of our chromosomes, much like what we, you know, the little plastic tips at the end of shoelaces.
Right.
So they protect the chromosomes from fraying during the cell cycles. So DNA, you know, basically replicate numerous times. And the telomeres protect those of the fraying, but also protect from the loss of valuable genetic information mm-hmm. During those different cell divisions. They themselves don't necessarily code for anything, but they protect the losses of genetic information during those different and multiple cell divisions. So they are pretty critical. Now, they do naturally shorten over time, but it appears that from various research that we have to date, that the science shows that you can influence that shortening rate and therefore the telomere length itself. Now, when shortening reaches a critical size, the cells kind of become senescent or inactive. You know, one wants to prolong that cell life and, you know, reduce the rate of shortening.
Okay. And then the discovery of telomerase, an enzyme that seems to protect the telomeres from shortening, was mm-hmm. discovered. And then that was all the rage. Astragalus, TA65, all these companies were promoting certain plant-based products that were supposed to increase telomerase. But I don't think the science on those particular product really worked out, did it?
Yes. I mean, I think we're still understanding a fair amount about telomerase, you know, and you're right. Basically, telomerase is the enzyme that's responsible for adding the DNA sequences. And what we did find in our in vitro studies, we looked at telomerase as well separately, and we did find in our study that telomerase was actually increased by about 50 to 90% across the different doses that we studied at 24 and, you know, through 24 to 48 hours, which we think may be partly responsible for the results that we saw in this in vitro study.
Okay. So now let's talk about ergothionine. First of all, anything with the word ergo on the front to me means energy, exercise, it's Latin for exercise, is it not? Or movement or something like that, right?
Yes.
Okay. So originally when was ergothionine actually discovered?
Ergothionine was discovered several decades ago.
Okay.
There was a fair amount of research back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and then there wasn't as much in between until maybe about a decade ago or so. Now there has been quite a flood of research on theanine, ergothionine, and in numerous different fronts. A fair amount of the work is observational. We are aware of some clinical studies that are ongoing on different fronts. But as you were, you know, earlier pointing out, it's this obscure little amino acid that not a lot of people know about. It is a naturally, you know, it is basically the star of our research, and it is a naturally occurring amino acid, which interestingly has amino acid, you know, this amino acid interestingly has antioxidant properties.
Mm-hmm.
It's found across almost all cells and tissues in the body from some research that was done. At different levels, and it appears that maybe the significant role that it has is in its antioxidant capacity. So it's a pretty unique amino acid in that sense. Although it's a pure and not as very well known, there is more and more evidence that is becoming known about ergothionine. And in fact, one of the unique things about ergothionine is that it actually has a specific transporter. So the human body has a transporter for ergothionine, simply called the ergothionine transporter. It is specific to ergothionine, and due to the growing evidence on ergothionine's role in the body, as well as the fact that there is this essentiality for a specific transporter in the human body.
Right.
Some researchers and experts have suggested that ergothionine should even be defined as a longevity vitamin.
Well, in fact, Dr. Bruce Ames, who was a guest on my show in 2008, we covered the first research on a 100-year-old lab dye called methylene blue and how it was effective at reversing Alzheimer's disease. And so he was on my show in 2008. He's a fantastic man. He's also the person who created the way we score cancer-causing agents. Brilliant man. He's the one who first said it was it should be considered a longevity vitamin. The fact that we have a transporter is even more fascinating because this means, to some degree, and correct me, from an evolutionary perspective, it was important to us, and we had access to it in order for our body to have encoded, if you will, or bio-generated a transporter for it, right? The fact that we have a transporter for it means it's not just some, we don't have to worry about that. It means it's important to our body.
Yes, and you're absolutely right about Dr. Bruce Ames. He was the one who suggested that it be called the longevity vitamin. And yes, the fact that our body actually has the fact that we have, a specific transporter for it has really gained a lot of interest and curiosity in the scientific space for why that's the case. And scientists are certainly beginning to explore that more fully on multiple different fronts. Hopefully in the coming years, we'll understand more about that. But, the essentiality of that transporter is central to the uniqueness of ergothionine and why our bodies might require it.
So ergothionine is something that throughout evolution we have gathered and consumed in our diet from a variety of foods. Talk about your research. What kind of doses did you use in the research that you did? And what can we learn from what may be optimal for the human being?
Yeah, I can answer some of those questions, but not all. So this was an in vitro study, and it's really the first of its kind in terms of telomeres. It's the first study to look at telomeres and ergothionine. We looked at 0.3 to 1 milligram per mil concentrations in the cells. With regards to what are those doses and, why are those doses relevant, those doses are, in fact, relevant in the context of they are reflective of physiological levels that we see in the human cells and tissues. However, to answer your third question, what dose do we think, sort of may be important, as the future? I believe we do need more clinical studies, to understand, effective doses of ergothionine that might actually be influential, be it cognition or heart disease or any other disease that we might look at.
Do you take it now, by any chance?
Yes, it is available.
I saw that. So what dose do you take? Just curious.
It's a 5 milligram dose that is available. So 5 to 10 milligram dose is something that people would normally take. The people I know that, especially at our company, and also the ones that we produce based on what we produce.
Do you think that it would be wise to stack it with ashwagandha? With the astragalus. Astragalus has some research on it and its ability to increase telomerase. Do you think that it would be wise to take them together?
I can't necessarily, speak to that combination because I don't believe they've actually been studied together.
Okay.
It's possible, that the two, along with other nutrients in the diet, such as omega-3s, vitamin E, C, A, D, are other nutrients that have been found to influence telomere length. Or have been either associated with telomere length. There are a few intervention studies along those lines as well. So I would say, for one who is interested in protecting telomeres and telomere length and its possible effect and potential effect on healthy aging, longevity, its influence on chronic disease. I believe a healthy diet with some of these nutrients in them, either from dietary sources or from supplemental sources, would be a good idea.
I think in today's environment with people, as we were just talking with Mark Bell a moment ago about diet in general, and the reality is that most of our diets have been co-opted to one degree or another because of, a deer knows what to eat. If a deer is in the woods, they know what to eat. Wild animals know what to eat. Humans, we've forgotten what to eat because we have been growing crops so that we don't have to go out and hunt and gather anymore. So it's hard for us to instinctively know what is good to eat. And the other thing is that most of us eat far less than we should because we are less active than we should be. I want to make sure people understand. I'm not suggesting that everybody be obese. We used to be more. The idea that we have to wear a wristwatch to remind us to get 10,000 steps today shows us how off we are. When a baby who's just learned to walk will get 20,000 steps in a day, and they don't have to wear a wristwatch to remind them. You know, our ancestors worked and walked all day long from sunup to sundown. And today we sit for most of that time. So I'm not suggesting people eat more. But the reality is that we're not consuming, we're consuming 2,000 calories a day. And we don't have the ability to eat lots and lots of bolete or oyster mushrooms, which seem to be the highest in this unique amino acid. So the reality of trying to get it from your diet in today's context would be difficult. So I think supplementation is the only way to go. So 5 to 10 milligrams doesn't sound like a lot. Is there any anecdotal evidence in any groups of humans that have been exposed to this amino acid long term and what we know about their telomeres?
Yeah, so there is evidence in the literature. A fair amount of the literature is observational data from different parts of the globe. And it has been higher intakes of it in the range of 10 milligrams in some studies higher, have been found to be associated with reduced risk of cancer, reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, and also improved cognition. So as you age beyond the age of 60 to 80, et cetera, one's cognition typically tends to be a little bit more diminished. And it has been found that those with higher levels of ergothionine in their blood, so we don't know what the intakes were, do know that high levels in the blood have been associated with better cognition. And so that's a very interesting area as well that continues to be pursued and is quite intriguing. And it's interesting that you brought up the issue of diet and activity because, I mean, the most recent dietary guidelines, the 2020 to 2025 U.S. dietary guidelines, notes that about half the U.S. adult population has one or more chronic diseases. And these chronic diseases are those that are related to poor diets, inactivity in terms of physical activity. Yet again, the dietary guidelines certainly promote a variety of healthy foods. I mean, not only to get the nutrients we need, but also those that are beneficial to promoting health and reducing and preventing the rate of progression of these diseases. So there's a fair amount of focus on that in these most recent dietary guidelines that were just released. And so in that context, I would say, ergothionine, as it continues to have more evidence for it, as it relates to improving and supporting health, would be something that of benefit for people to include in their diet. And you're right, it is difficult to get high levels of it unless you're a very high mushroom eater or eats a lot of mushrooms.
Liver is another one that contains it. Is it possible that it's stored in the liver and that's why the liver contains it?
But yes. It's actually found in almost all cells and tissues in the body.
Okay. Okay.
So, it is a reason why we find them in sources of liver and meats as well. But only there are only certain types of fungi and bacteria that actually make ergothionine. And that's how it gets into our food supply. There are certain parts of Europe where they do eat a fair amount of these certain specific high ergothionine containing mushrooms that have higher intakes of ergothionine. And then certain Southeast Asian populations also that have certain types of mushrooms in their diet. But for the most part, then, folks who don't consume these foods have very low intakes of ergothionine. So it is something that one would have to either get through foods and beverages that are fortified or through a supplemental source.
If someone is listening to your show and they have a supplement company, can they reach out to you if they think they want to start to include ergothionine in one of their supplement blends?
Absolutely. They could go to our website, which is www.bluecal-ingredients.com. There is a white paper that we have on ergothionine there, and they can certainly, there's a way for them to contact us for more information with regards to ergothionine as well.
And do you sell direct to the public also or no?
We at Blue California don't necessarily sell directly to the public.
Okay. So you could sell to manufacturers, but not to the individuals. And as you said, it is available on the market today. So that's good to know. I find it fascinating. One last question. Is there any evidence that ergothionine, if used in adequate doses for a long enough period of time, can not just halt the shortening of telomeres, but increase their length, almost reverse the clock, if you will?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. So in this particular in vitro study with Blue California's ergoactive ergothionine, we found that under oxidative stress conditions, ergothionine reduced the rate of shortening. It also resulted in a longer median length of the telomeres, and it also reduced the percentage of short telomeres at both 8 weeks as well as at 4 weeks. The study period was 8 weeks. In order to see a longer, what we did not see necessarily was longer telomeres. What we saw was the preservation of telomere length. So together, all of those results certainly suggest that ergothionine might help preserve and protect the length of ergothionine of telomeres. And that in itself is very valuable because as part of the natural process, telomeres do shorten over time through the multiple cell divisions. So to protect their length would be key. Increasing their length, I'm not aware of a lot of research that actually has shown that per se. But again, as I mentioned earlier, more clinical research is needed, clinical trial research is needed to show and to look at that as well.
Robert Thompson, I just put his comment up. Yesterday we were talking about mushrooms. There's some evidence that people who eat mushrooms end up having a higher fungal overload. So I was saying that I've gotten away from eating mushrooms, as have some other people that are following this research. And he said, yesterday mushrooms were bad, today mushrooms are good. I'm not suggesting mushrooms are good. While oyster mushrooms and bolete mushrooms are highest in ergothionine, that first one right there, liver, is an important one. And something else that the doctor said was that all tissue has some amount of ergothionine in it. So I would argue that muscle tissue from cows have ergothionine in it. And maybe that is why we talked about a study in 2018 that showed that beef, they studied six foods and nine vegetables. And the only thing that lengthened telomeres was the beef. And I'm going to find that link and I'm going to post it on Facebook later. And I would suggest that the reason that beef increased telomere length was because of the concentration of ergothionine in it. Just shooting in the dark. I didn't know about ergothionine back then. So I am not suggesting that people go out and eat mushrooms. We talked about this yesterday on the show just casually, that there is a mounting body of evidence that people carry high fungal loads. They end up with neuropathies. They end up with a bunch of diseases that are considered diseases of modernity that we now know that ALS, a study was just published that shows that ALS has now been linked to a fungal infection in the brain, and most likely comes from inhaling these fungi that get it right into the brain. You know, as we learn more and more about fungus, we learn that it's not our friend, at least not in high loads. As you get older, things like LL37 and other antifungals in the body start to wane, and fungi can overtake the body faster than when you're young. Also, high sugar diets contribute to this as well. But I am not suggesting that people run out and eat mushrooms. Eat liver instead. And I have a funny feeling that if somebody went back and looked at the beef study that we talked about in 2018, they may find out that there was a higher degree of ergothionine in those people's blood who ate a lot of beef. Just saying. You know, the problem with science is it's never one thing. And it's never black and white. It's not even gray. And to think that this one thing or that one thing is all you need is an insult to the complexity of the human body. The human body is so complex. Beyond our wildest dreams, we're learning every day. Now the microbiome is all the rage. And does it affect health, or is it a watermark of what's going wrong? I mean, so I am not suggesting you go out and eat mushrooms, Robert, but I am suggesting that you pay attention to ergothionine, and probably in a supplement better than trying to eat a bunch of oyster mushrooms every single day, just a guess. Because, you know, with oyster mushrooms, you have other problems, right? You have contaminants. You have you don't have to worry about organic when it comes to mushrooms because they literally grow overnight. So there's no need for pesticides. Quite often, fungicides will kill them. Think about that. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that, but there are other things that ride along. If you start eating a lot of mushrooms, who knows? Maybe you're going to get a zinc overload or a copper overload. I think supplements work better when we learn this kind of stuff. I think take 5 to 10 milligrams a day and cover your bases. That's it. What do you think about that statement, doctor?
Sure. And I think with ergothionine in particular, the levels in the U.S. diet are really, really low. I mean, we're talking about 1 to 2 milligrams in the diet, you know, and so getting it with the typical U.S. diet would be difficult unless one changes the diet dramatically. So I would say that a supplemental source is a doable and something that could be recommended, certainly, even though we are still in need of additional clinical research, randomized clinical studies, and more research. There certainly appears to be a fair amount of observational data that certainly points to ergothionine as being having an important role, a potential role that we will continue to learn more about. And so, you know, starting with 5 to 10 milligrams today, until we know and have a better idea of what those doses might actually be, as most studies are done, I think is a reasonable level. Those are actually in the ballpark of doses that are consumed in some parts of Europe with a diet, but they have a very different diet. And so that's certainly, you know, something to definitely keep in mind, because oxidative stress and inflammation are certainly known to affect telomere length, and also conditions in our body that create more, such as diabetes, cardiovascular disease, hyperglycemia, hypertension. All of these create even more oxidative stress and inflammation. So protecting the body from this with a variety of foods and a healthy diet is certainly a cornerstone to one's lifestyle and is needed. You know, because the other thing that we do know from the research is that lack of exercise, smoking, high amounts of alcohol, stress, all of these also affect telomere length. So a healthy diet and physical activity certainly is very important.
Yeah, he's funny. He said, flame-broiled beef double whopper, $3, offer at Burger King, half-pound beef. I don't know if it's all beef, to be honest with you, but yeah, the study we talked about, I'm going to dig it up and put it up on Facebook for you, Robert. I don't know if we're friends on Facebook, but I'll tag you. It was fascinating. It just shows that beef is not bad for you. Listen, Dr. Samuel, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you having me and also your interest in ergothionine and telomeres. And I look forward to hopefully being on your show in the future when we have more research.
Yes, I would love that. I love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much. You take care.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that's it for today's show. Mark Bell is great, isn't he? I love Mark. And this is good research. Anything that improves telomere length or keeps them from getting shorter faster will help you in the long run. You don't want senescent cells. We've been talking about senescent cells for a long time. In fact, I took my 6 milligrams of rapamycin today. I take 6 milligrams once a week to keep those senescent cells in check. Twice a year, I take zithromycin, which really gets rid of senescent cells very quickly. And of course, one bout of heavy resistance training reduces senescent cells in muscle tissue by 60%. That quickly. So get into the gym and train. Do your cardio in the morning. Try your 10-minute walks like Mark was talking about. I think I'm going to go take a 10-minute walk right after I shut the camera off and then come back and finish my duties. Stay active. That's the key. That is the key. Stay active. And it makes up for a lot of mistakes that you make. Really, really does. All right. Share today's show. Help people out. It's 2021. Let's rock and roll. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Oh, Dave Pulcinella is coming on tomorrow. The comeback kid. His story is fascinating. You want to be inspired? Stay here for tomorrow's show. Be here for tomorrow's show. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Thank you for being here today.